I was sitting on the front row down there, and I found this little smart aleck phone down there. It's one of those iPod things. You know, when it says, I wonder what where the restaurant is. I have an app for that. What kind of food do they serve? I have an app for that. How do we get there? I have an app for that. Cool, isn't it? Need to know Jesus? I have an app for that. Know where you're going when you die? I have an app for that. Pretty cool, huh? Just thought about that. I told Pat the other day. That was mine. He can't steal it. But I got his phone. Did you know, Pat, where are you? It's pretty cool, man. I have it up here. Do you have the idea that it's Christmas yet? Yeah, I understand. I heard the last time that I preached, I owe all you men in here an apology. For as much as I like to shop with my wife, I was supposed to apologize because I understood you got a little heat from that. So I'm sorry. But, come on, men. Sometimes we just have to get out there, right? Yeah, sometimes you have to just get out there and find that special gift for that special lady, right? You know, that's very special. I heard that, you know what a rare gift is, right? It's what a woman receives from her husband after 10 years of marriage. Now, I know none of you in here, guys, are like that. I know that you are very special to your lady. And, you know, when you're looking for that special gift, it's kind of like you walk and you walk and you look and you look and you touch and you touch and you pull off the shelf and it's just not it. So you put it back and you walk some more, you look some more, you touch some more, you reach until you see it and you know that's it. That's the special gift. I remember when we were looking for furniture for our house. We had to, you know, it wasn't like replacing a room or just a sofa. We were having to replace all the furniture, all of it. And so we're looking and we're looking and we're looking. And we're down to living room suite looking for a sofa. And we look and we look and we walk and we walk and we touch and we sit. And she knew what she was looking for. It just didn't hit her. And we walked in this store in Lake Charles. And we walk in the door, take a right, and then to a left. And she went, that's it. That's it. And I'm serious, y'all. It's like it had a halo over it. It was glowing. And I'm going, yes, yes. And, so, and that's in our house right now. But that special gift. And when you're looking for a special gift, you'll spend all that time looking for the perfect gift. What makes us do that? What makes us not mind the time? What makes us not look and look for that special gift? And when we find it, it really doesn't matter what it cost. I found it. This is it. What makes us do that? Love. It's love, and it's love for that special person that makes us do that, that makes us not mind the walk and all the shopping time that we give because we love that person. That's what God did. God gave the best gift, and He gave it to us because we're special. And if we look at in 1 John chapter 4, that's where I want you to turn. And we're going to read that in just a moment. And he's going to talk to us about what we should do about this thing called love. And I want to spend some time talking this morning about what makes us so special. What makes us so special that he would send his son Jesus Christ at Christmas, that we celebrate that. What makes us so special that he would do that? 1 John chapter 4, and I was going to start somewhere else, but I'm going to start somewhere else. I'm going to look at verse 16. Okay, go up to 15. Verse 15 says that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Wow. In verse 20, and if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? That's pretty strong words, isn't it? In verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love each other. We must love his brother, our brothers and sisters also. And if we are to love them, if we are to love them in the way that God loves them, what makes them so special? How many of you love God? Oh, wait, don't put your hand down. You know what that means, right? You got to love me. Yay, me. If you love God, you must love your brother. So what makes us so special? First of all, what I see here is that we're so special because we are created in God's image. Genesis 1:26 says that then God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man according to our likeness. That tells us that when we were born with worth. We were born with something special. We were created in the likeness of God. Now, this something special that we have, it's nothing that we got because of something that we did. It's not because of some lifestyle that we live, because we try to do good for everyone. We didn't receive that gift because of something that we did. What in the world could you do to merit that kind of love? We have gained that worth, that specialness, if you will, because of who God is. As we just read, God is love. God is love. And so we receive that gift because of who he is, not something that we have done. And if he is just to create us in the first place, not to mention create us in his image, that is beyond thought to me. And that makes us pretty special. And I know some of you look in the mirror each morning and go, pretty special? Really? Yeah, really. Really, you are special in the sight of God. And not only did he create us in his image, but he created us for a special position. He created us for a special position. What does position in life mean to you? You know, when you think about, and I know a lot of spiritual people in here, I know, and you're going to say, well, position is where I stand with Christ, and you know, but come on. You know that you want position in life. Most of us do. Most of us want that place that if you're in the corporate world, whatever corporate is to you, it could be a teacher in a classroom. It could be someone at a plant. It could be someone in an office building. But in the corporate office, each person is there trying to climb the ladder. They're trying to get to the top, to be whatever successful is. And we want that position. And some people do that by hard work. They do that by studying, by working, and by staying late, by doing all that. And so they get to that level of position by hard work. But there are some people who get to the top of that ladder, and it's just given to them. Family-owned business, some people that you know, and you just gain it. Nothing that you deserve, you just get it. May not even know the business, but you got it just the same because of circumstances. And people who get to that point, a lot of times some of them do remember and appreciate how they got to the top. Some don't. They don't remember. And they just say, look at me. I'm at the top. Let me explain all this position stuff where I want to go with it today. Our position that we have in God's kingdom has nothing to do with us. It was a gift. It was a gift that none of us in this room deserve. We have position in Christ because of who He is, period. Some of us appreciate that and tell Him, and some of us don't. But we have right standing with God because of who Christ is in our life. We have position today. We have position heaven in the future because of who Christ is in our life. We have position. He has given that to us, and that's what makes us special. We, because of grace, have the ability to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that's the only way that we can do that is through Jesus Christ. You see, grace makes us special. It's because we have grace that we can be in position, His position. He's created us in His image for a special position, but He's also created us in His image for a special purpose. We have purpose. Rick Warren says that we were created by God for His good pleasure. His good pleasure. You know what pleases God? You know what pleases God? To have a relationship with you. To have fellowship with you. That pleases God. He wants to have fellowship. He has always wanted fellowship with us. Do you know that Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening would walk with God? And they would talk. And they would visit. They had a relationship that brought a good fellowship. And when we have that connectedness with the Lord, when we connect with Him, we have that relationship. But sometimes we lose fellowship. We lose that fellowship because we do something wrong. Adam and Eve did something wrong. They wanted their pride got bigger than their fellowship with the Lord was. They wanted that more than the fellowship. And then they lost it. We lose it too. We lose fellowship with our Lord. It's called sin. We lose it. We don't lose the relationship. I really believe if you're truly saved, you are saved. But we lose fellowship. And that's a bad place to be. Yet nothing's right when you're out of fellowship with the Lord. Nothing feels right. Nothing seems right. Because we're out of fellowship. We're out of step in the fellowship with Him. So it needs to be mended. Our fellowship needs to be mended. And the way that we mend our fellowship with the Lord is that we confess our sin to Him. Oh Lord, I've sinned. I've sinned against You. And then we confess the sin. And then we repent of the sin. We leave it. We repent. Oh Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. We confess it and we repent it. And the Lord, our Father, our Heavenly Daddy, wants fellowship with us so much that He hears the confession, He sees the repentance, and He brings us back to fellowship with Him. That is fellowship with Him. We were created for a purpose, and that is to have fellowship with Him. And that makes us special. Does that not boggle your mind? To know that the Creator of the universe wants to have fellowship with you? That boggles my mind. But He does. We're special that way. Another thing that makes us special is that God is no respecter of person. Acts 10:34 says, then Peter spoke and said, in truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. Now, y'all, when I read that as a young man, as a young Christian, and I read that, and the first thought I had is God is no respecter of person. I thought, God doesn't like anybody. You know, He doesn't like anyone. He's not a respecter of anyone. And then as I begin to study, you know what that means? That means that He shows no favoritism. None. He accepts everyone. And get this. When He accepts everyone, and listen, isn't it cool to know that He accepts us the way we are? He accepts us the way we are. But as Max Lucado said, he says, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. He wants us to be just like Jesus. See, he connects with us. We get connected to him. He commits himself to us. We commit ourselves to him. We begin to transform our lives according to what he wants. And once we realize what he has done for us and that relationship that we have with him, it becomes contagious. We want others to know that too. That he is our Father. He is our Lord. And he doesn't respect anyone. He has respect for all people. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For everyone. For everyone. And if that's the case, shouldn't we be like that as well? Shouldn't we be at a point in our life that we want to accept people the way they are and then just begin to teach them about God's Word, to teach them about the love of the Lord? And we should open our hearts that way. You see, when Jesus sees people, he doesn't see people for who they are. He sees people for who they could become. And I'm reminded of Simon Peter about that. You know, when he first met Simon, he said, you should be called Peter, the rock. And I thought, you know, and you know Peter's story just like I do. You know all that he's been through. Okay, first of all, when he first met him, he was fishing. He fished all night. He caught no fish. That happened twice. Here's a man, fish. That's his job. That's his trade. He fished all night, caught no fish. How in the world can he be fishers of men? He can't even catch fish. But he walked on water. He walked on water. Almost drowned. How special is that? And then the night when Christ was arrested, this rock man turned to sand by questions in the courtyard. And he ran and he denied Christ three times. Do you think Christ made a mistake when he said, you will be the rock man? No. He didn't see Simon Peter for who he was. He saw him for who he was going to be, who he could be. Simon Peter, we just read two of the verses that we read before that, was by him. Simon Peter became one of the most influential people, preachers, evangelists of the first century church. Christ saw him for who he could be. And then shouldn't that be what we do, is that we see people for who they could be? Shouldn't we see people, well, I guess from an eternal perspective, not from an external sight, but for eternal perspective. I think sometimes we get so wrapped up when we talk to people, we ask them, well, what church did you attend? Yeah, how often do you go? What's the name of your church? What are y'all running? You know, we want to know what's the name above the door instead of the name above the whole building, the name above the church. Isn't Christ the head of the church? So shouldn't we be asking them the big question? What are you going to do with Jesus? What's to do with him? He's the gift. He's the gift that we've received. And what are you going to do with him? What do you do with Christ? I know that we're fixing to have Christmas and all these little ones are going to be opening up presents. And I know you've seen this time and time again, that they're learning how to get the paper open. So they start ripping the paper. And man, and they get to the box and they pull up the box and they open the box and they pull that toy out. They throw the toy over here and they play with the box. Am I right? They play with the box. Here's the gift. And they're playing with the box. I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in playing with the box that we forget the gift. We forget the gift that Christ has sent us. Let's don't forget the gift that's been sent to us. Let's don't forget to ask people the real question. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? This thought occurred to me this morning, and I was thinking about, you know, some of the things that we put so much value in. Never mind. I'll just skip that story. I know y'all are blessed. Okay. The Lord shows no favoritism when it comes to His salvation. And I know you've heard it said that, you know, the ground is level at the cross. There's no one more important than anyone else. We are all in need of a Savior. There is no favoritism shown. And finally, we are special because Christ died for us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Why did He have to die? Hebrews 2:9 says in part that He, being Jesus, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. And I know that we have mentioned this before and all about, you know, why did He have to die? But, you know, it's worth mentioning again. Why did He have to die? He could have prevented it. He could. I get this weird thing sometimes in my mind. And I thought, what if He did? What if He was on the cross and all those soldiers are saying, "Yeah, save yourself if you're the Son of God. Come down off the cross." And I thought, what the looks on their faces if He had. That would have just shocked them. You know, to be standing there, and the next thing you know, Jesus standing by them. You know. But you know what? You are so special to Him that He wouldn't do that. You see, our God, as we just read, God is love. God is a loving God. But listen, my friend, God is also a God of just. He is a just God. And somebody had to pay the debt for sin. And Jesus chose to do that. And He thought you were so special that He stayed on the cross for you. That He died for you. He died for me. And that makes us special. That makes us special. You know, John 3:16 tells us who He died for. For all of us. For anyone who would believe in Him. He died for us. He died for you. God made a great investment in our lives. I'm not a businessman. I don't know much about business. I balance a bank book once a month. That's about the extent. But I do know this, that value is placed in the amount of investment in something. I know that. The amount of investment of time or money that you put into something makes that something more valuable to you because of all the time and all the money that you've put into it. And here's that story. I've already started the flood story, so let me finish it. The first day that we got back into our home, I walked back to all through our home, and then I went back to my back room where I had my baseball card collection. I can't tell you how many baseball cards I had. I don't know. And when I walked back there, it was a mess. And water in my containers that I had all my cards in, water was flowing out of the top of those containers. And all those cards had just gotten about that thick. Yeah, I know. Why didn't you put them in the attic like most people? I don't know. But this is the truth. I popped the lid off that first plastic container, and water came flowing out, and I grabbed the card that was coming out. And it was an autograph card of Mickey Mantle. Several of those. Autograph washed off. And I thought, how much time and investment did I put into those cards? Going out the window, being thrown away. But I've since come to realize, shouldn't we invest our lives in something more than paper? Shouldn't it be invested in something that has eternal value? Lasting value. You know what the number one thing right now you should be investing your life in? Your family. Your kids. That's where you ought to be investing your time. That's where you ought to be investing your effort. Is in each other. Our text said today that you are to love one another. Invest your efforts in that. Invest your time in the lives of people. Listen, I've been married to that woman going on 40 years. And I thought this morning when I said, I'll go ahead and use that story. 40 years. Do you realize how close to the golden one that is? Wow. She is a blessed woman. Not that I bless her, but that she has put up with me for that long. And you know what? You know why that is such an investment and why it is still going on? Is that we invested our effort and time in the bad times as well as the good times. You know, any of you that's been married, how many have been married 50 years? I asked that this morning, all over the building. Praise God. Those of you who have been married 50 years, you know that those 50 years hadn't always been smooth sailing. You know that. But you've invested in that. That's special. And when you invest your life into that, then it's worth the time and the effort that you put into it. There is value in those things by the investment that you put into it. My friends, God has a great investment in you. He has invested His own Son's life in you. Listen. He has invested eternity in you. And if that doesn't make you think you're special, I don't know what will. Let's pray. Father, sometimes we really don't know how to say thank you. Words fall so short. But Lord, what you did for us on the cross of Calvary, my goodness, how do you say thank you to that? Lord, how do you say thank you at Christmas? Knowing that Christ was born, knowing that the cross was evident. And Father, I just use the words I know, Lord, with gratitude. I say thank you. Father, I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone in this room, Lord, that doesn't really fully realize how special they are to you, Father, I pray today they know. Today they feel that. Lord, not because of who they are, Lord, but because of your love for them. Lord, you don't want anyone, Lord, to miss heaven. Lord, you don't want anyone, Lord, to go to hell. Lord, you want to save everyone. Lord, it's a choice. Lord, and I pray today that they make the choice for you. Lord, there's people in this room today, Lord, that's struggling, Lord, at Christmas. It's hard. Lord, it's hard. Lord, because of whatever, Lord, whether it be finances, Lord, whether it be a loss of a loved one, Lord, whether it be just a loss in life, a lost job, or whatever, Lord, there are people experiencing that today, and Lord, they just don't want to hear 'tis the season to be jolly. But Lord, it is the season to give thanks. Even in all of that, Father, we can give thanks. And so, Father, today we thank you. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.